meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, thank you. So this is the CCWG Workstream 2 Staff Accountability meeting of 21 April at 5 UTC. Okay, so go through the agenda, and then we'll go through, after the agenda, we'll do the SOI check, statement of interest check. Then we'll talk quickly about staff engagement. The substantive issue for this week is the initial response to questions asked in this, an issue what's made of this on the list this week. So we figured we made a better pass through that set of questions and see what the answers are and decide what to do with them. So there are a set of documents as are listed. Then we'll talk about the process, discussion, analysis, development of solutions to the issues, start talking about the approach we'll take. Reminder that we will be talking about these issues in the plenary. Briefly, then, a document update, but I don't believe there's much of an update on either of the two documents. Let me see, what do we have after that? Then, basically, we'll just talk about the status of the work and look at the next steps on the various documents and any other business. It's too bad that there's so few people here. But since one of the main discussions on one of the issues is here, I think it's good that we do the meeting anyhow. Is there any other business that anyone would like to add or any change to the agenda? At this point, it's a fair standard agenda. I remind people to keep themselves muted if not speaking, and remember to say your name at the beginning, which I forgot to do. This is Aubrey speaking. So, anybody want to change the agenda? Being hearing nothing. Okay. Then, SOIs, just remind everybody that SOIs need to be updated, looking at the list of people attending. I'm fairly sure we don't have an issue there. Is there anybody attending on the phone that is not on Adobe Connect? I don't hear any voices, so I'll assume there is no one. Okay, then the first item is the staff engagement. I'm wondering whether there is any update on what is happening in terms of bringing more staff participants into the group. Patrick, do you have any update on that?
Yes, sorry, I was taking myself off of mute. This is Patrick. Based upon the issues tracker and that it's starting to get finalized here, it's being shared with Teresa, and Teresa's intention is to bring it into exec team in their staff meeting to help focus that group's discussion on actually good candidates to approach within the staff to see if they're interested in volunteering. So hope to have some names here sooner rather than later, but that's the latest.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, any questions on that, Jordan or anyone else? Okay, then we'll move on. We have the questions paper, and George basically brought up the question of us needing to basically work on an answer for those. So though that hadn't been the plan for today, we had had a different planned agenda. We decided that we should probably do that. And Jordan wrote an initial draft of a set of what we're calling light answers, because many of the answers talk about future answers, but that, and then I made an edit pass through that document. We made it public, I guess, yesterday or the day before. I guess it depends on where you are and what time zone you are in. wondering if we can bring up that document. I regret that I did not send a PDF of it out, but hopefully just before the meeting, which has been my practice, and I forgot to do that, but thank you for having one. So, Jordan, would you like to walk us through this document and give you your thoughts, and perhaps after each question, if there's anyone that's got a comment, and then after we've talked through it, we could talk about what we do next with it. Of course, it being available for anyone to read it as a public document. But would that be okay with you, Jordan?
Yeah, Avery, I could do that.
Fantastic.
It's Jordan here. Hi, everyone. I'm conscious of a small call and the fact that everyone on this call is particularly diligent. And so I'm not going to read it out, but I think that all I was trying to do is distill where it seems to me the group's discussions have been going. The consequence of spending the time on this is that the proposed one-pager on the, the one-pager on the relationships between the community and the delegations and stuff wasn't done, because there's only so much time one can put into this stuff. But, you know, there's no harm in answering the staff's questions. I thought we were having a good dialogue, but obviously some didn't feel the same way. So I hope it's reasonably self-explanatory. Try to keep the answers reasonably brief and allude to the fact that further answers will come through the ongoing work. So maybe if we just step through them one by one. Does anyone have any thoughts or issues about the draft answer in question one? Or about the whole pack, if you don't want to talk specifically about any of the questions.
This is Avery. Okay, George has his hand up. Great. George, please.
I do, and this is George, and I am speaking really as an individual at this point because I want to help get this thing going. I think... we had a fairly intense email discussion about this, and I think that what you are doing is going in a direction where you really want to collect more evidence. You want to understand the situation better before you give specific replies to any of these questions. And the staff questions, they're asking for specific replies, and what you're saying is, look, we're really generating. I don't want to say hypotheses, because I think that's a word which is too tentative for some of the people who will be reading this transcript. Issue areas where you're collecting information and you're really not ready to talk about it yet, but you intend to within the structure of the issue table that you're generating, and those. These answers fit within that context, and that's the way you're going to go, and that's an acceptable way of going. So I really don't have detailed comments on these answers. I think this is a direction, and you're going to take it, and that's okay. I think it is a good idea that you're answering the questions, because you really want to get a dialogue going with staff. Because ultimately, you're going to need to talk with them and say, look, here's what we found. And they're going to say, well, let's explore this. And you're going to say, yes, let's explore it. And let's see what we can find that's constructive from going forward. At least that's the way I see it. Thank you.
Thanks, George. It's Jordan here. We've got a dialogue going with staff already, whether we answer these questions in writing or not. So do you think that we should change these answers, or hold them? There's lots of echo there.
Oh, sorry. That's my fault.
Do you think we should change these answers, or do you think we should just hold off and rely on the discussion that is happening, i.e. Patrick being here, to say that answers are definitely coming, but it's just too early to be able to answer specifically because we're still in the investigation phase?
I don't know. I think again, speaking as a member of the group and not of the board, my own preference would be to sharpen the answers and try to answer them as directly as possible. But I think you have a strategy which takes into account that you're going to take this set of issues before the whole CCWG, and for that matter, well beyond that, if you wanted to, before pronouncing anything with respect to the issues. And so that's the strategy you're going to follow. And I think it's one of a number of strategies you could follow. You seem to be doing it, so let's take it to the end. And I think that means writing answers of the type that you have written here. Thanks.
Thanks, George. Jordan, I have one question on this that I had when I did the first read-through but never got back to talking to you about. And that's on the second paragraph where we have the no-fuse sum listed as alternatives. I'm assuming that this is something where at a later time, after we've talked through the issues list, we'll pick which of these three is the correct. It was the assumption I was making, but I just wanted to check that.
Yeah, I think that's right. I didn't have to hand any examples myself, so I didn't know whether the other people did or not, so I just square bracketed that. I didn't really draft these answers with a firm view in mind about when they would be sent, so that paragraph really was a holder for when we've done the issues identification work. So I think that there are kind of two broad options. One is to sharpen up the answers based on where we're at today and say almost set of holding answers, saying overall we're still working on this, we'll focus on systems and processes and we'll come back to you on the detail once we've done that analysis. Or to just not do anything with them until we've done the analysis and rely on the informal conveyance through Patrick and the other staff on this call to say the group is thinking about the answers to the questions, the approach they're taking isn't going to generate those answers in detail yet, and we're all fine with that. So I don't really have a preference between those two options, though I always think that the less back and forth of letters and writing and stuff that you can do, especially when you're talking about and trying to have a dialogue, the better. I don't know, Patrick, if you've got a view on that.
Patrick has his hand up, so please.
Yeah, this is Patrick. I think it will be better for us to hold off on sending back a half answer or generic answer document because I would anticipate response back from many on the staff side is going to be to revisit for more specificity. I think the process of rounding out the issues table with the bigger plenary group to identify if there are other instances that we can bring up as evidence or situation cases, that will actually help clarify, I think, the answers here. What I like about this is just by going through the exercise of how to answer these questions kind of gives this group, an understanding of where they are on that specificity to generic range of content. Which then just helps us identify how to shape the answers and think about the right way to engage staff beyond me in the dialogue as well. So I'd be in favor of letting those that need to know answers are not being ignored, but they're in, if anything, we're trying to go through the due diligence of getting clear answers that actually support a dialogue moving forward as opposed to continuing an ambiguous back and forth. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan?
Thank you. I question to what extent are we really going to get specific answers and specific instances. We talk about using words like reprisals. I don't think that's the right word to use in this kind of case. You know, I can give a specific instance of how a senior staff person has, I think, not acted appropriately. But the relationship between volunteers and staff is difficult enough as it is. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be having this discussion at all. And to give an example which might put him or her in a bad, you know, bad way, it's just going to some extent, poison the atmosphere even more and make it more difficult for the next time we have an interaction. And I'm very reluctant to do that. I had a discussion with the former ombudsman at one point about a specific instance. And he says, well, why don't you complain formally to me? I said, I'm not going to do that. It's not worth the potential benefits are not worth the potential harm that would be caused to the relationships, both with the individual concerned and with the rest of the staff. You know, because I've gone and done that. Now, maybe I'm overreacting, but I think that's a general feeling. So I question to what extent we don't have a lot of turnover in ICANN these days. You know, it's hard to talk about the person who's left now, and now we can talk about them. So I question to what extent are we really going to be able to address these issues with specific hard facts and hard examples. I'm done.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Jordan, I see you've got your hand up. And Patrick, is that a remnant hand? Thank you. Jordan?
Thanks, Jordan here. I think I agree with Alan. I mean, the tension in all this is that, you know, there's a difference between hypotheses and generic issues informed by specific instances. And we all face the challenge of trying to do this work in a way that minimizes disruption and doesn't sort of worsen relationships between staff as a group and the community as a group and specific individuals on either side. So that is why the approach has been that Avery and I have sort of been pushing is one where there are things that might look like hypotheses, but that never are. In other words, there's nothing in the issues table that someone just dreamed up. Nothing can get in there or be listed there unless there's a specific example underlying it. And we might be able to speak about those examples offline, or people may have knowledge of individual cases. But we can't, I think I agree with Alan, that airing them through formal processes isn't what this is about. And so we're going to have to operate, and the way I see that you can operate that a bit on the basis of trust and without leading to questions about are people telling the truth or are they just making it up, is by listing those generic points, getting a wider audience to look at them, doing some work as we're going to talk about next in terms of prioritizing which ones to work on a systemic level where one or two interventions might be capable of addressing many of the suggested issues, and then leaving this for future review processes to deal with. So I hope I speak for all of us, we don't want to turn this working group into a place where people start complaining about, oh, blah, happened with blah years ago. And we don't want to sort of delve into things that happened 10 or 15 years ago, which aren't relevant to the current ICANN. But, you know, if the organization is signaling through these questions that what it wants is details of cases to be able to look into them, I think that's definitely not what is ever going to happen. And I hope no one is expecting that, and I think it's good to say that that isn't going to happen because it's not our job. That's why the answers that I've drafted are all couched around the idea of systemic responses informed by specific cases that we might not be able to discuss. So I think that's a very long-winded way of agreeing with Alan.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. I think in terms of hands, I had put mine up, then I noticed that George and Patrick had their hands up, but I'm not sure which one went first.
Yeah, and mine is a new one, by the way.
And yours is a new one at the top of the list.
Yep.
Okay, then that means that you go first, I thought.
Thank you. It's Alan speaking for the transcript or the captioning or whatever. I'll back out a little bit from what I said. There are some examples that are easy because they are so common. And if you ask volunteers in ICANN what kind of problems you have with ICANN staff, travel is going to be at the top of almost everyone's list because almost everyone has an example. And in that particular case, the person who is who's the frontline person, I know is running as fast as he can. He may need a course in time management and a few other things. So it's not so much a target at the particular person, but at the overall process. We have had problems with travel for years now. And they range from significant travel problems to little things like I send an email and no one responds to it in the last 3 days, which happens to apply to me at the very moment. Performance problems are not a new thing in business. Yet we've never even had a real candid discussion openly. I've had it personally with a number of people. Nothing gets resolved. No one has decided to say, let's have a service level agreement and let's track whether we're responding properly or not. And it's just shoved under the rug because it doesn't seem to be anyone's priority. So that kind of one we can talk about. But I really hate to target something which ultimately ends up pointing at one person or two people. Even if you're not blaming them, it still makes the situation really difficult. Thank you.
Well, thank you. This is Aubrey speaking. One of the things that I wanted to add to what Jordan said is that one of the things that I hope we can identify for all the issues and all the issue types is what an appropriate process would be for dealing with those. If we look at the issues that come up and those that get a certain amount of generality in terms of various people saying, yeah, we've had something like that. In some cases, it may be travel. In some cases, it may be, for example, based upon the letter we got from the registry stakeholder group, or the indication we've gotten from the business constituency, et cetera. And so, we look at those and say, was there a process for dealing with them for this kind of issue? And if so, what is it? And if not, is one needed? And that those are the kinds of things that I'm hoping to come out so that indeed we are not dealing with specific issues and putting them through the process, but we're looking at the class of issues and the types of issues and making sure whether they're issues from volunteer to staff or staff to community, will work out in the issues. But that there needs to be either we could say, no, this is not really a problem. This is not really an issue. We don't need a process to deal with it. Or we could say, yes, it appears that there's a certain amount of reality to this issue and there isn't a process, so we recommend process X, Y, or Z. And that's kind of where I hope it gets handled and gets handled in a very non-finger-pointing way and trying to basically remove the specificity. And as it's good that someone gives an issue in a specific manner, but we just by abstracting what is the problem, the issue, and not what are the specific details. So that was mine. George, was it George or Patrick first? You guys know who got your hand up first? I didn't notice.
Patrick.
Okay, Patrick, please.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I'm fine waiting because everybody's making my points that I was going to bring up if I keep on waiting longer. But I'll just quickly second the comments that have been made here that the stories I think are less about evidence in a let's solve that problem as much as they are hopefully illustrative of the challenges and evidence that there is a valid systemic problem or pattern that this group should address. And then I agree with Aubrey. I'll just second the reminder of the focus of this group is not to resolve the systems that are the sources of those challenges, but to identify those mechanisms for appropriately addressing concerns or experiences that are not meeting community expectations. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. George?
Thanks, George here. I guess I tend to understand where you're coming from, but my sense is this, that up to a point, if you stay at a fairly broad systemic level, assuming the problems are systemic, you're going to catch them. You're going to be able to identify them, and your strategy will work as you have described it. But to the extent that they're not systemic, maybe they're quirky, maybe they're individuals, maybe they're attitudes that are shared, who knows, that the less specific you get, the less likely you are to be able to say things that are meaningful in terms of being able to do something about them. And the one thing I would say is that you might want to point out some of the things you've been saying and say that, well, look, we don't want to point fingers. You obviously don't say it this way. I'll exaggerate. We're not going to point fingers, even though it may be useful to point fingers to show examples of what we think may be systemic. But we don't have a safe space. We don't have a space in which we can do it in ways that that don't worsen relationships and that don't create an us versus them or we versus you attitude. And let's concentrate on the safe space so that we can set up a system for identifying and dealing with these problems as they come up in the future and not letting them stay infested. There's nothing worse than a problem that doesn't get solved. Everybody knows it's there. It continues to irritate. It's sort of an elephant in the room, and it's known that it's in the room, but you don't know how to deal with it, so it just aggravates everybody on and on and on. It's a little bit like a Chinese water torture because you can't get rid of the issue. It stays with you. Now, if you think that the issues are systemic, then look for ways of showing they're systemic. The best way I know is evidence, but I understand why you don't want to go there. So that's why I go back to saying maybe the lack of a safe space is what you need to talk about and how to create that space so that these things don't become problems. Am I making sense to you? It's going in a somewhat different direction than you're going. Thank you.
George, I actually am not sure that you're going in a different direction, if I can speak, and I don't know whether, Patrick, your hand was a new instance. I think in some cases we are collecting specific issues, as I say, those that are actually being written up and were already submitted. So in those cases, and part of the discussion in the plenary meeting is to basically look for wider feedback on the degree to which people may have experienced things that are similar, perhaps without needing to get into those details, but enough to give us a systemic picture. I think that the other issue that you bring up, those things that are not systemic but are particular but become elephants in the room, may be actually describing yet another role in the table of another kind of issue that needs to be solved by there being some ongoing safe space or what have you for further discussions after this group. So I think what you identified is perhaps another kind of issue than the ones we've listed, is those issues that aren't systemic but come up, do not get resolved, and give birth to elephants. I'm just sort of thinking this through as I was listening to you, that may just be another kind of issue. Your hand is still up, George. Did you want to comment further, or did we want to quickly move through some of the other? There has been some discussion in the chat room. I don't know whether we need to bring that in. Basically, Alan made a point that you can cover some of the issues, but there are others that you cannot mention without it becoming personal. and perhaps that is the particular, the specific issue, and may fall into the kind of category that I think George was opening up, the safe space. There's a safe space discussion. Okay.
Could I just make a point, Avery?
Oh, please.
Yeah, it's Jordan here. I think, George, from your intervention before, I've got a bit of a clearer sense of your point about evidence and systemic issues. I think the issues that we're finding in the issues table are probably perceived gaps in the HR performance management or accountability system for staff that may be able to be either filled, maybe in the case of building in feedback loops, or provide a safe space to resolve individual issues that come up. What I hadn't thought about is, like, if one of the issues alleged was, for example, the HR system broadly doesn't hold staff to account for poor performance. Now, if you wanted to make a generalization like that, my personal view is that that would be beyond the scope of this group, because this group can't and shouldn't try and accumulate the evidence, but that would be required to validate or otherwise that hypothesis. The best it could do would be to say to ICANN, we wonder whether there's a general performance management issue, and we'd like you to look at your system. But the kind of, you know, because we shouldn't try and do the work of the organization for the organization, if that makes sense. So maybe that's where we've been slightly talking across purposes. To me.
Okay,
yeah, that's quite possible.
Okay, thank you, George, on that comment. It's great captioners of getting the names and recognizing our voices. Okay, do we want to go through the other questions? I know I had some content set the question to in answering the question in parentheses. But I don't know if we're ready to move on to the other question.
I think this is a general discussion, Avery, and you should say what you've got on that.
Okay, on two, and I've added it in the document as a comment, but not as a write-up. And this was the reticence that's been reported about various members of the organization willing to speak to the community, and basically I'm one of the main people who's bringing this one up, in that since the work in APRT2 and since then, I've talked to more than a handful of staff members who have had things to say, and for some reason having made myself sort of very visible on the whistleblower on necessity and such, people have come and talked to me. Now, that was always done confidentially and such, and even when I've gone and approached people about joining this group, who I've heard, commenting and moaning, I corrected my speech, but commenting and moaning about various issues, and I said, hey, you know, come on down and let's talk this through, whether it was issues about community member behavior or it was situational about how some of the stuff worked within the organization and such. All I can do is say, yeah, these things get reported to me. I hear them in discussions, but that's all I can do is pass that on. And the only thing I offer kind of is a further clue on that is the fact that we have been beating the bushes on people to participate, and everyone I've approached has said, I kind of like to, but I kind of like my job. So that's why we're going through the larger process to get some staff members to volunteer in a different manner, as opposed to just coming forward and participating. So that's the point on the answer to that one. And, you know, I take responsibility if no one else has been talked to confidentially by staff members of just saying that's where that one comes from. George, I see your hand up.
Thank you. Thank you, Aubrey. George here, and again, speaking as an individual, not as a board member. Let me tell you what my answer would have been to this based upon what I think your position is. I would have said something like this. We do believe that there are concerns of the type that you mentioned, that there is a fear of talking with about specific instances because of an unwillingness to upset relationships, and so on. We are talking with a broader group of people about this so that we can present you with a better idea of how prevalent or non-prevalent this is, however you want to phrase that. And we do believe that this is an issue to which you should give some attention. We believe that the establishment of safe spaces for discussing issues like this will help ICANN in the future. Full stop. Direct and illustrates your concerns in a very tangible manner. Thank you.
I don't know if we've lost Avery from chairing, but I'll just step in while she's still on mute to say thanks, George. I think that's helpful. My hand was up just to say that I would only add that in every organization I've ever been a part of, people are a little bit reluctant to speak out against hierarchy or power structures, and there's always an informal layer of communication that goes on. So if I had one of, this is facetious, but my answer would have been almost, if I was sort of being silly, of course there are people who have that view, because we are human beings working together in a group. That wouldn't be a helpful contribution to this discussion.
Thank you. Yeah. This is Aubrey again. Yeah, I was speaking muted. And so thank you for reminding me that I was muted. And what I had basically said beyond what you said is I think I'll take what George said and cut and paste it into the document. And such. Yeah, the only people that are notorious for always speaking their mind in organizations become essentially unemployable. I can testify to that. You get a bad reputation. Okay. On any of the other questions? Question two. Yes, George, I see. Is your hand up again, please?
It is an old hand.
Sorry.
I would argue, I understand your point. Troublemakers get shut down. And perhaps one could add, and I don't know quite how, but one of the characteristics of really good organizations that benefit from feedback is that they find a way to do this without expelling troublemakers. That is, they turn the troublemakers' energy, whether it's positive or negative, into a positive force for the for appropriate change. Thank you.
Thank you. Good comment. Yes, Alan.
Just related to all that, I've worked with a number of organizations over the years. ICANN values loyalty more than your typical organization. Partly perhaps because it's still small enough, partly because it's a very hierarchical organization. You know, and the relationship between everyone and their boss is something they are not going to do anything to endanger. And I don't know how you get around it. I mean, we're not living in the world of Rod Bextrom where people were fired right, left, and center for saying one thing. But there's an axe hanging over everyone, or at least many, many people, because of the need to not do something which will reflect badly on either the people who work for you or the people you work for. You know, and I have a pretty good relationship with some people in ICANN, and they'll speak candidly to me, but they'd never say that to their boss or out loud. So.
Okay, thank you. I've got Patrick and then George, I think. Patrick?
Thank you. This is Patrick. Agree with Alan. The other observation I would make, though, is that the other, I think, other attributes that you can characterize within ICANN is, for many of the, they remember and worked under, Beckstrom and even further back than that. And another attribute, I think, and it's not just on the staff side, but on the community side, is that there's a lot of longevity and there's a lot of, memory. And those memories, I think, linger for folks. Even if there are instances that we all acknowledge are 5 or even 10 years old, people will still remember them. And some people on both sides of the camp remember them plain as day and unfortunately learn those lessons the strongest. So I think that's also another factor in the dynamic as we're trying to think through the way to engage. And I think even characteristically on an individual level, people are given credit and reputation for having good contribution and opinions. And then I know that there have been other folks that have felt that that their contribution needs to be muffled as it relates to dealing with the community and where that gray area is between the work that the community does and the experience and intelligence that the organization has. So there's a lot of different dynamics in this that create a lot of landmines, real or perceived, for individuals, depending upon who they are and where they've come from and how much they're on the troublemaker spectrum. Thank you.
Thank you. Please.
Patrick, I liked your characterization really a lot. And I think that this is the level at which a lot of the discussion of this group could and perhaps should take place. It's the dynamics of the situation, and I don't know if this goes beyond your mandate or not, but how do you improve them? Because ultimately, there's a problem to be solved, and that is staff community dynamics aren't what they could be. We're not in love. We live together. We're roommates, but we're not enamored of each other. On the other hand, we don't hate each other. We want to get some things done. Any improvement in that relationship helps us to get things done. I originally wanted to say that, Alan, if your characterization of loyalty, the dominance of loyalty, you didn't put it that way, but that's what I heard, in the organization is affecting how staff treat the community, then that's something which is pretty serious and systemic and worth making explicit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, this is a discussion about culture. And in my experience, organizational managers are pretty defensive of their right to imbue culture in organizations. And it's pretty clear already that Joran has a very different take on what that might mean to Fadi, and they were both very different to Rod. And so on down the chain of CEOs. I've encountered interesting pushback when raising it in that frame, because I think the ICANN system needs a culture reset based on a kind of restatement of the values under which people come together and work together to enable it to work together better, to improve the relationships. I think the underlying problem is a cultural one. But that's not a staff accountability issue, and it's not even a enhancing ICANN accountability issue, it's a making ICANN great again, or maybe for the first time issue. And so I don't know where that lives. By my lights, responsibility for that lives with the ICANN board. And they, in the end, are responsible for setting the cultural leadership of the system, because they're the people from the community elected to the governing role. So I kind of feel like some of that stuff is really important. I don't really know where it's being addressed. I don't feel like the CCWG is the place that should be doing it. But maybe if it calls it out,
mm-hmm.
that can then spur wherever the right place is to deal with it. I'm nervous about us stepping on toes and being accused of stepping outside a mandate and that being used as a tool to ignore us.
Yep.
Thank you. Patrick, and then I put myself in. Patrick?
Yeah. Jordan, great comments. Two thoughts. One is I think that the appropriate place for this group to venture into that discussion is using the language around the culture of accountability and or the behaviors that we're seeing that are potentially the points of issue. Because behavior is it's a nice code word for culture in action. That's one thought. The other is that I think it's not just potentially the culture change or a culture reset, but also just clarifying what the culture is or what the desired culture is, but also taking a look at what are the different cultures across the community as well, because they, cultures impact other cultures, and if anything, we are an ecosystem of many different cultures through the different constituency groups within the community and the broader ecosystem. And I think, more clarity around that as well, I think, just as a general comment, would serve the community as well in figuring out the right ways to work with each other. It's a different type of diversity. If you want to, we can try and plug it into that group. That was a joke. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The comment I wanted to make is that while revising the culture is certainly not within our scope, I agree, Jordan. But I think that if after discussion of the issues and having conversations like this one with more people and going further into some of the issues, this I think has been a very solid conversation, is that we could come out with, looking at our culture, maybe something that could be a follow-on activity somewhere else, and certainly not part of the accountability. But if we think that that's part of the accountability misunderstandings or the accountability that leads us into some of the accountability problems, because, indeed, an organization is as multi-stakeholder as ICANN is trying to be, and is multi-stakeholder actually making decisions and doing work, which is a very rare instance within the multi-stakeholder world, and with such an extensive staff, is a specific kind of organization that I know this gets accused of being called exceptionalism, but is different from the other organizations we know and has similarities, certainly. But because of that nature and because of our mission and values, et cetera, that does make us have to look at culture. And that may be something that, we certainly can't get into, but we could certainly recommend as one of the possible solution areas for the future. George, I see your hand. I just want to point out we have 10 minutes left. Before going on, I could say very much that there's almost nothing to say about the other documents that are there. It's just a checkpoint that lives on our agenda. So I'm fine with spending the next 10 minutes on this if no one has an objection. And George, yours is.
Yeah. Thanks, Aubrey. I think that's good judgment. This has been a very solid conversation. It may be out of mandate, and the problem is that what we're doing in what the group doing what the group is doing in mandate seems less relevant in some way to providing a path to progress than the conversation. And I don't know whether you agree with that or not, but flagging this issue I think is the first step in getting it out for discussion. I want to ask Patrick a question. Patrick, if the senior staff were in this call right now, up to this point, what do you think their reaction would be?
What would their reaction be? I think it would be as varied as the individuals on this call. I think that they would be in a agreement around the themes that we're discussing here, but I think there'd also be an agreement that it's meandering around the scope and focus of this group's work. But there is quite a bit of conversation going on within the staff around organizational effectiveness and culture and clarifying those fun navigational tools like vision, mission, strategy, values, as we're talking about annual planning and as we're talking about employee fatigue and all of those different pieces. So I don't think that anything on this call would be a surprise. I'm certainly bringing up observations that I've made or have been part of discussions where these observations have been made in the past as well. The other thing about communities that have a lot of longevity within the community members is all of these things oftentimes are discussed in that interesting way that it's open yet not really discussed for the purposes of addressing or challenging things, and that's for a whole host of reasons as well.
Thank you. I saw an agreement check from Jordan. George, oh, okay, I was just checking to see whether it was a remnant hand or that. Okay. So with 8 minutes left here, we haven't talked at all about questions 3 and 4. Yes, Jordan.
Oh, I was going to say something about the next agenda item, the next bullet point about process, so I'll wait until you're ready.
Okay, and that's what, if nobody had anything to add to 3 or 4, that was where I wanted to go, but I just wanted to make sure I had given people a chance to comment on those, and then to lead into the next one saying, the impression I have is that this remains a living document and we keep working on it, but we're not delivering it as an answer yet. Of course, it's an open document on Drive that anybody can go in and comment, can add text, including staff members. One does not need to be a non-staff member to go in, comment, and read. And, of course, that's up to you, Patrick, and the senior staff in terms of whether, you know, or who can. And I know that you've already participated in the other docs on occasion, on the issues docs, so I'm glad to see there's already a precedent for it. But, yes, Jordan, the rest of the process.
Yeah, all I was going to say was I didn't know how the timing would go today, and I thought if we had lots of time we could brainstorm some ideas about that process, but we don't. So I thought we might do it by means of me jotting down sort of almost just like a sort of enumerated process in a way that's similar to what George did in one of his emails during the week, i.e. just a numbered list of steps we can take to do that work and fire it around the group for input and feedback. For us to firm up on the next call.
Sounds like a good suggestion. Anyone else wish to comment on those 2 points made in terms of the way forward? One, this document remains open for continuing discussion and answer, and two, that Jordan will initiate a discussion on a bulleted set of process items on the list. Excuse me. That we can work towards. Okay, seeing nobody wanting to comment on that, basically there's been no change made in our other documents since our last meeting. There's been no change made in our plans, so we did move off one of the discussions by a week, but I don't think that changes our schedule yet. We do have the upcoming plenary discussion, which I believe is before our next meeting, but I'd have to check the comment. I mean, I'd have to check the schedule to be sure, but I believe that's the case. And does anybody else have anything else to add? Well,
yeah.
It was a short. Yes, George, please.
Into the group.
Excuse me?
Well, what happened to the group? There are only five people on this call.
Right. That is an issue. That's an issue that we've been having in many groups. I mean, as totally separate from this group. I think at the beginning, Alan was talking about people being tired. But I've been on two meetings that got canceled because we didn't get enough people. And by some of the rules that people are using, that there have to be at least five members of the group that are neither group leadership nor staff for a meeting to be held. It's just a rough practice. It's not an absolute command, and it's one that I chose to miss today because it seemed appropriate to have a conversation. But you're right. It's a problem, and it's a problem throughout CCWG at the moment, probably something that we should discuss at the CCG level. But I'm also having it in the new GTLD PDP working group that unless we've done a good job ginning up an exciting discussion for the meeting, we sometimes have light attendance. So it's not just this group that's having that particular problem. Yes, Jordan.
I think it's an ICANN-wide problem that possibly relates to exhaustion following the transition. And I don't know if, given the long lead up to that of many years and encouraging a certain sort of person who had time and interest to do things, and given its passing, I think that volunteer participation might actually be a systemic issue that the board should be very worried about, given the effect it has overall on the system's abilities to do its job. But in terms of this group in particular, I think we've had a number of calls that have been closer together to get more work done, but because they're so close together, it's very hard to get any work done. So one of the thoughts that I had was, A, we're still varying the times through the schedule that's allowed, but I think maybe if we asked people, would they rather have a less frequent schedule but a longer call with something more of substance to discuss at them, and that might be more likely to attract participation. I don't know. It's just my theory that if you ask people to do lots of bite-sized chunks, it's harder for them to make the time available. But if there's something for them to really get their teeth into and offer an opinion about, and a perspective about, they're more likely to bother to come and do it.
Well, we can talk about that. Because before we were doing the less frequent, and trying to only have the meetings when we had something substantive to talk to, but then our schedule was slipping at every meeting. And part of it is that we need to be done with this. I think part of the exhaustion is also that, you know, we all know that it's time to be done with this particular chapter of the accountability work. And so we should really talk about what works better. But George, is that a new hand? Did you want to make another comment?
Well,
we've got 1 minute left.
The last one, as a board member, I can tell you that we are concerned about volunteer burnout. And any suggestions you can make, such prioritizing, delaying, whatever it is that keeps people sane and able to function well, would be welcome. Suggestions that would be welcomed by the board. Thank you.
Okay. So anybody else have another comment before I adjourn the meeting?
Hand up briefly, Ellie.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Sharon.
Sorry about that. My computer literally ran out of battery and I didn't feel like going to plug it in just for the last couple of minutes of the call. I'm glad to hear that we're all concerned about volunteer burnout, but yes, we do need to do something about that. We also need to do something about actually valuing volunteers. That's a piece of work. You can take that as it's meant. But the learnings from the accountability efforts should not necessarily be seen as typical. They are affecting other groups, absolutely, and I've pointed that out. But this is an unusual set of circumstances with some particularly heavy demands, with high frequency and very regular meetings because of taking sub-team and breakdown into small facets approaches. Now, that's not bad. That's not good. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying that let's be careful what we try and remodel and why we're remodeling and in the unique circumstances that prevail at the moment. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. And in closing, I think that's part of the reason also why we're taking the issue to the plenary for a more people discussion. So I thank you all. I thank you all for a very good meeting and a fine discussion. I love that we have a transcript to it already. And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, all.
Thanks,
bye.
All.